on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
He's been everywhere, he's everywhere. Steve Grumpy Collins. Steve, we've been talking about those abbreviations of names. Presumably Steve is a shortcut to Stephen.
Yes, it is. Stephen is my real name. And the only person who calls me that is my sister who lives in Bendigo.
Stephen.
But you know the irony of it is, Stephen, there's only one way to spell Stephen, and that is S-T-E-P-H-E-N. But she always spells it S-T-E-V-E-N. So I get great joy out of every time she writes me, which is often, or speaks to me. She calls me Stephen, but uses the wrong spelling of it, which I find very funny because she likes to be exact in everything she does, if you know what I mean.
And yet the short version is it can only be S-T-E-V-E, Steve.
Oh, you can have Stevie as well. I mean, there was...
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks. Little Stevie from the Easy Beats. So, yeah, there's been a few around.
I wonder what if Stevie Nicks... Was she a Stevie?
Or it could have been Stephanie.
Maybe it was Stephanie. There you go, Stephanie.
Yeah. So, which is a female version of the word Stephen, isn't it, really?
Now, do you remember many a year ago, I think of him fondly, a wonderful WA police officer, no longer with us, fondly known as Sergeant Jack.
Yes. Yeah.
And he would come in, he'd talk to us on the program, the Bricky program, with yours truly and Millsar in the and others. And he was phenomenal. And he had that lovely ability as a highly regarded member of the WA traffic branch. And he did so much inside that, including, you know, setting up the breathalyzers for Western Australians all those years ago. He's a phenomenal bloke.
Yep.
The point of that story is he would often say that when you're driving a car, there is no need, there's no evidence that you're going to get there to your destination any more quickly by sitting an inch and a half away from the car in front of you.
Well, you could get there a lot less quickly because if you run into the car in front of you, you're going to be delayed for a while, aren't you?
And it'll be your fault.
Whilst you pay for the front car's pairs.
I know, just dumb. Now, where are we off to, for those around Australia, and hopefully we get some calls on it as well, where are we heading? Somewhere exciting that maybe we haven't been, and what do we need to know?
Well, basically, we're going to go to Borneo.
Borneo?
Which is the third largest island in the world after Greenland and New Guinea. But we're going to the Malaysian part of Borneo.
Indonesia.
We're going to go to Sabah, which is in the north of Borneo, and Sarawak, which these are two states, two Malaysian states that are in Borneo, which is south of Sabah. But of course, Borneo, actually, most of it is occupied by the Indonesian province of Kalimantan. That particular province occupies 70%, 73%. And there's a little country called Brunei, which occupies 1%. That little country of Brunei and its 1%, it's got a lot of oil. And so the Sultan of Brunei at one stage was the richest person in the world. But it's got nothing to do with Malaysia. So we'll talk about Sabah and Sarawak because they're both really wonderful places to go and visit. I've been fortunate enough to go to both.
We'll do that the other side of this. If you'd like to join us, if you've been in that area, we'd love to hear from you. 133-693. We've been talking about the English language too, Grumpy. I mean, it does change, and it's worked. But just a text here that says, you know, SMS texting has done no favours in terms of...
Oh, spelling.
Yeah.
Well, I heard the conversation earlier. You were talking about Sheila. Was it Scottish? No, it is definitely Irish. It is of Irish origin, and it's a derivation of the word Cecilia, because a lot of Irish girls were named after St. Cecilia, and that sort of was changed for some people
sort of
to
morphed into Sheila.
But you were talking about somebody said, but the friend he had called Sheila was Scottish. Probably was, because a lot of Irish went to Scotland during the famine, particularly Scotland, because there's a big Catholic community in Scotland, and they were basically Irish. So the Sheila name for this Scottish girl would have probably been passed down through her Irish heritage.
So how did we become known, certainly in Australia, say, oh, what are the Sheilas doing? Or let's go and have a look at the Sheilas. It became a...
It was basically an insult to Irish women, because a lot of Irish women were sent out here on the convict ships. And it was sort of like a slur on them.
They would have been fun girls, wouldn't they?
Yeah, paddies were, Irish men were sort of commonly known as paddies as well. Bear in mind that the origins of our Western society here in Australia were, of course, British, and they didn't have great respect for the Irish.
How much fun would all those girls being sent out here on the convict ships
have been? Would have been horrific, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't they have been fun people to hang out with? I reckon that would have been great. So where were we? So we're going to the information I have, Sabah and Sarawak are two Malaysian states on the island of Borneo.
They are, because that's called Eastern Malaysia, because you've also got Peninsular Malaysia, which we know extends from just north of Singapore to the border with Thailand, and that's where the capital of Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, is, etc. But they've also a lot of Malaysians on Borneo, and so they've split that part of Borneo into two states, Sabah, which is in the north, and Sarawak, which is in the south, but they both share a border. So they basically take up most of the right-hand side of the island of Borneo. Now, I'll talk about Sabah first, because it is a most beautiful, beautiful place.
The coastal?
Yes. The capital there is Kota Kinabalu. And not all that far from Kota Kinabalu, about an hour and a half drive or so, is the highest point, not only in Borneo, but in the whole of Southeast Asia, and that's Mount Kinabalu. And Mount Kinabalu is over 4,000 metres high. It's quite a spectacular mountain, but a lot of people go and climb up it. It's more like a very steep walk than a mountain climb, because there are trails, and I've seen people, they've got a guest house right up near the summit of Kota Kinabalu, and they've got these people that literally, because there's no roads, carry all the stores and the food and that up on their backs. They're up this amazing, you can see them. They're like ants climbing the mountain, carrying all this stuff. That they must be so fit to be able to do that. But it is a wonderful place. Some beautiful, beautiful beaches up in Sabah.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
He's been everywhere, Steve Grumpy Collins. Steve, we've been talking about those abbreviations of her names. Presumably Steve is a shortcut to Stephen.
Yes, it is. Stephen is my real name, and the only person who calls me that is my sister, who lives in Bendigo.
Stephen.
But you know the irony of it is, Stephen, there's only one way to spell Stephen, and that is S-T-E-P-H-E-N. But she always spells it S-T-E-V-E-N. So I get great joy out of every time she writes me, which is often, or speaks to me. She calls me Stephen, but uses the wrong spelling of it, which I find very funny, because she likes to be exact in everything she does, if you know what I mean.
And yet the short version is it can only be S-T-E-V-E, Steve.
Oh, you can have Stevie as well. I mean, there was...
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks.
Little Stevie from the Easy Beats. There's been a few around.
I wonder if Stevie Nicks... Was she a Stevie?
Well, it could have been Stephanie.
Maybe it was Stephanie. There you go, Stephanie.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which is a female version of the word Stephen, isn't it, really?
Now, do you remember many a year ago, I speak of him fondly, I think of him fondly, a wonderful WA police officer, no longer with us, fondly known as Sergeant Jack.
Yes. Yeah.
And he would come in, he'd talk to us on the program, the Bricky program, with yours truly and Millsar in the and others. And he was phenomenal. And he had that lovely ability as a highly regarded member of the WA traffic branch. And he did so much inside that, including, you know, setting up the breathalyzers for Western Australians all those years ago. He's a phenomenal bloke.
Yep.
The point of that story is he would often say that when you're driving a car, there is no need, there's no evidence that you're going to get there to your destination any more quickly by sitting you know, an inch and a half away from the car in front of you.
Well, you could get there a lot less quickly because if you run into the car in front of you, you're going to be delayed for a while, aren't you?
And it'll be your fault.
Whilst you pay for the front car's repairs.
I know, just dumb. Now, where are we off to, for those around Australia, and hopefully we get some calls on it as well, where are we heading? Somewhere exciting that maybe we have, we haven't been, and what do we need to know?
Well, basically, we're going to go to Borneo.
Borneo?
Which is the third largest island in the world after Greenland and New Guinea. But we're going to the Malaysian part of Borneo.
As now, opposed to
Indonesia. We're going to go to Sabah, which is in the north of Borneo, and Sarawak, which these are two states, two Malaysian states that are in Borneo, which is south of Sabah. But, of course, Borneo, actually, most of it is occupied by the Indonesian province of Kalimantan. That particular province occupies 70%, 73%. And there's a little country called Brunei, which occupies 1%. That little country of Brunei and its 1%, that's got a lot of oil. And so the Sultan of Brunei at one stage was the richest person in the world.
Yep.
But it's got nothing to do with Malaysia. So we'll talk about Sabah and Sarawak because they're both really wonderful places to go and visit. I've been fortunate enough to go to both.
We'll do that the other side of this. If you'd like to join us, if you've been in that area, we'd love to hear from you. 133-693. We've been talking about the English language too, Grumpy. I mean, it does change, and it's worked. But just a text here that says, you know, SMS texting has done no favours in terms of
spelling.
Yeah.
Well, I heard the conversation earlier. You were talking about Sheila. Was it Scottish? No, it is definitely Irish. It is of Irish origin, and it's a derivation of the word Cecilia, because a lot of Irish girls were named after St. Cecilia, and that sort of was changed for some people
sort of
to
morphed,
Sheila.
Morphed into Sheila,
but you were talking about, somebody said, but the friend he had called Sheila was Scottish. Probably was, because a lot of Irish went to Scotland during the famine, particularly Scotland, because there's a big Catholic community in Scotland, and they were basically Irish. So the Sheila name for this Scottish girl would have probably been passed down through her Irish heritage.
So how did we become known, certainly in Australia, say, oh, what are the Sheilas doing? Or let's go have a look at the Sheilas. It became a...
It was basically an insult to Irish women, because a lot of Irish women were sent out here on the convict ships. Sort of like a slur on them.
They would have been fun girls,
wouldn't they? Yeah, paddies were, Irish men were sort of commonly known as paddies as well. Bear in mind that the origins of our Western society here in Australia, we're, of course, British, they didn't have great respect for the Irish.
How much fun would all those girls being sent out here on the convict ships
have been? Would have been horrific. Horrific, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't they have been fun people to hang out with? I reckon that would have been great. So where were we? So we're going to the information I have, Sabah and Sarawak are two Malaysian states on the island of Borneo.
Yeah, they are, because that's called East Malaysia, because you've also got Peninsular Malaysia, which we know extends from just north of Singapore to the border with Thailand, and that's where the capital of Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, is, etc. They've also a lot of Malaysians on Borneo, and so that they've split that part of Borneo into two states, Sabah, which is in the north, and Sarawak, which is in the south, but they both share a border. So they basically take up most of the right-hand side of the island of Borneo. Now, I'll talk about Sabah first, because it is a most beautiful, beautiful place.
Coastal?
Yes. The capital there is Kota Kinabalu. And not all that far from Kota Kinabalu, about an hour and a half drive or so, is the highest point, not only in Borneo, but in the whole of Southeast Asia, and that's Mount Kinabalu. And Mount Kinabalu is over 4,000 metres high. It's quite a spectacular mountain, but a lot of people go and climb up it. It's more like a very steep walk than a mountain climb, because there are trails, and I've seen people. They've got a guest house right up near the summit of Kota Kinabalu, and they've got these people that literally, because there's no roads, carry all the stores and the food and that up on their backs. They're up this amazing, you can see them. They're like ants climbing the mountain, carrying all this stuff. They must be so fit to be able to do that. But it is a wonderful place. Some beautiful, beautiful beaches up in Sabah. Just wonderful. Very, very, very lush jungle there, or tropical rainforest, as we would call it. It's just a lovely place. There's some pretty good big caves up there. And there's places like the Tunku Abdul Rahman Marine Park, which includes a couple of islands. One is Manukan and Sapi Island, and they're sort of tourist destinations as well, where you go snorkeling and diving. And there's Tanjung Aru Beach, which is just drop dead gorgeous, wonderful sunsets there. And you go up there, you go to the Pouring Hot Spring and Nature Reserve, which is about an hour out of Kota Kinabalu, and it's just wonderful. You can do these jungle hikes there, these jungle treks, and you cross these bridges that are sort of made out of vines. I didn't mind it, but some people don't quite, because it shakes when you walk on it. It shakes quite a bit and it swings. A lot of people aren't that keen on walking across it, but I sort of like to. I must have been a tightrope walker in an earlier life.
And you're a tall, thin man.
Very tall, very thin, yes, as you would know, yeah. But they have these wonderful hot springs there as well.
And you like show tunes.
But one of the interesting places is the Mari Mari Cultural Village, which showcases Sabah's indigenous cultures. And this is why both Sabah and Sarawak are different from Peninsular Malaysia, because, as you ought to know, there's a lot of tribal groups on the island of Borneo, and they have. This is where the headhunters come from. You might have heard of the headhunters.
Yeah.
This was the original thing.
Nice.
And they've also got the poison dart guns, which you can learn to use at the Mari Mari Cultural Village. And I can tell you, blowing a dart through a long tube, a long bamboo tube, does not lead to great marksmanship.
And some of those areas, though, Grumpy, too, I'm assuming were part of conflict during World War II.
Well, I'm going to talk about that, because many of us have heard about Sandakan and the Sandakan death marches. Now, this occurred during World War II, and that was mainly Australian, but they're also British or certainly Allied prisoners of war there. And there was a series of marches that the Japanese made these poor unfortunate because they were starved, they all had fevers, and there were 2,434 Allied prisoners were held captive by Japan at the Sandakan POW camp, which was in North Borneo, and they wanted to move them to another place called Ranau, and that in order to do that, they had to walk through the jungle. Now, they asked some of the Malays to plot a course. The Malaysians thought that, this is going to be to move their troops, so we'll make it as hard as possible. They didn't know that the prisoners of war were going to be going on this trek. Otherwise, it might have been different. And out of those 2,434 Allied prisoners that made the trek, six of them survived that trek. And all of those, they're all Australians, and they all survived with the help of local Malaysians who helped them to escape whilst they were doing the trek, and then they looked after them once they'd escaped. So it was really a tragic trek that occurred, as I say, mainly to Australians, but also some British soldiers. And there's a wonderful memorial and gardens at a place called Kundasang in Sabah, which was built to commemorate those who died on the Sandakan death marches. This is the most beautiful place. It's very, very serene. You get gorgeous, gorgeous views of Mount Kinabalu because they were basically walking along the base of that mountain. And they've got the most gorgeous gardens there in memory to all those that lost their lives. So if you ever do go to Sabah, I would recommend that you go there and that you go and pay your respects at the Kundasang
remarkable
memorial.
Visit.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And the other thing you should do if you go to Sabah is go to the Sepalok Orangutan Sanctuary, because orangutans are fabulous to watch, Tony. Do you know orangutans have got share 96% of their DNA with we humans.
There you go. I'm watching a couple of the other side of the glass right now. 1-3-3-6-6-9-3. It is Australia Overnight. Tony McManus, Steve Grumpy Collins, Traveller. Have a look at the YouTube and the Facebook. More the other side of this. And the big festival is a world music festival coming up in that part of the world too soon. We'll find out more right after this. Oh, gee, it's a pretty piece of music. Steve Collins, Traveller, where are we? Did we get to talk about food, glorious food?
Well,
Grumpy?
I'm about to talk about food because we're going to move down to Sarawak, where the capital city is Kuching. Now, Kuching is a Malaysian
name. I love the way you pronounce
it.
So you and I would have said Sarawak, but you're telling me it's now Sarawak.
Well, that's what they call it. But we can call it Sarawak if you want.
No, I like your way, Sarawak. Where are we going? We'll go and have drinks at Sarawak.
Sarawak. The Sarawak bar. No, the capital city is Kuching. Now, Kuching is a Malaysian word for cat. And they do venerate the cat in Kuching. There's cat statues and stuff like that. They just love cats there for some reason. But it is, it's a very, very elegant city is Kuching, and it's got a wonderful little waterfront that you can wander across. We're talking about food. They've got some great restaurants here. I've been to a few. They have a lot of traditional cuisine, local cuisine. They're very, very big on fish, for instance, because they're on the coast. And they've got some drop-dead beaches as well, Damai Beach, which is about 40 minutes out of Kuching. It's on the Santubong Peninsula, which is just drop-dead gorgeous. And it's your typical, beautiful, tropical beach. You can just stroll along the beach. It's got a wonderful resort there. And it's just lovely to be there, particularly at sunset. because it faces west and it's, you just sit on the beach and it's just gorgeous. What Kuching is famous for is every year they have the Rainforest World Music Festival, and this is held at the Sarawak Cultural Village, which is a living museum, basically. It's got, because there's a lot of different groups that, traditional groups that that live in Borneo, and their architecture, their houses, and that are all on display here at the cultural village. But each year, each June, they have the Rainforest World Music Festival. Now, world music
sounds divine.
Well, it's associated with local cultural music, you know, and you do have local cultural bands. This year, they've got a special group who everyone will know. The Commodores are headlining at the Rainforest Music Festival,
including Lionel Richie performing.
I don't think Lionel will be there. No.
Okay, that'll do.
I don't know how many of the original Commodores will be there, but that's really important. But while we're talking about the culture, and it is a great festival, it rocks. It goes for 3 days, and it's just fantastic because you are actually in the rainforest jungle.
Yeah.
They've got several stages. Yeah, they've got the main stage, and they've got several other ones, and they have classes where you can learn local instruments and stuff like that. So it's absolutely wonderful. But one of the experiences you can have in Sarawak is to go and stay in an Iban longhouse. Now, these are traditional. They're longhouses. I've stayed in one. It was a six-hour drive from Kuching, and then over 1 hour in a longboat, which is a very long canoe. And I can tell you what, it was just wide enough to fit me, Tony. And you go deep into the rainforest. Oh. And these longhouses, 36 different families lived in it. It was over 700 metres long, built at the top, on the top of a hill, because it's a rainforest. It rains a lot. If you build at the top of the hill, you won't get flooded out usually.
Sounds gorgeous.
And each of these families have their own sort of series of rooms which run off. There's a big main hallway on in this longhouse. And it's absolutely incredible experience. You are roughing it because you are deep in an actual rainforest.
Hot and sweaty?
Yes, it gets humid. Very, very humid there. And it also, you get a lot of rain there as well. But you get in these long boats and you go trekking, and you get, like, was taken to this little beach up a river. And you get out and at the beach, and then you've got to walk through the water to go to this wonderful little waterfall, which is beautiful.
Sounds
and you
fun.
See so much wildlife there. It was just a wonderful experience. But the main thing I remember about this stay, I think I stayed there 3 nights in this traditional
standby relay stations, news coming up shortly, 30 seconds.
They have the world's biggest banana in the jungles of Borneo.
There it is, the world's biggest banana. Thank you for sharing that.
No, they're massive.
It is.
They
a big banana. There's only one big banana.
They grow to over 30 centimetres long.
That's a big banana. Fly. We've got the news coming up. Grumpy, people can have a look what you do, and you do so well.
Yes. Steve Grumpy, Steve Collins Traveller
YouTube and
YouTube, Facebook. YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, I'm there. I haunt it.
You're a good man, and we'll talk to you next Friday. Thank you. A regular contributor, Friday edition of Australia Overnight.